Going to talk to you a little bit about the IPM alternatives that were investigated as part of this project. As Chris just pointed out, the soybean aphid has had a dramatic impact on the way we produce soybeans in the Midwest. The damage is primarily through phloem feeding, which results in a large amount of sugary substrate being deposited on the surface of the plant. It's an excellent substrate for secondary pathogens and things like sooty mold to take hold. And a couple of speakers later on are going to speak a little bit about the virus vectoring. We've documented 25% yield reduction in some of our plots in Iowa, and this leads to $163 loss on a per acre basis, so it's a big impact to the grower's bottom line. Soybean aphid populations have been very variable, both on the regional and the local scale, temporally and spatially. This figure is showing mean aphids per plant over a growing season. The thick dotted line at the bottom of the figure is showing the current economic threshold of 250 aphids per plant. And we see that in 2005, we have the black line, we have fairly low populations. However, they did exceed the economic threshold in early mid-August. 2006 was a very low aphid year for us at this location, and the populations never reached the economic threshold. And then 2007 was a phenomenally high aphid population at this location. We see aphids crossing that economic threshold in early July and then peaking at near 3,000 aphids per plant in early August. We also see the similar trend extend to the statewide level. Both 2004 and 2006 were relatively low aphid populations statewide, and we see that reflected in grower usage of insecticides during those years. We skip to the years that experienced high aphid populations for the entire state. We see insecticide use going from in the range of 2 to 5 million acres being treated annually, and this really drives home the point that soybean aphids are by far our number one driver of insecticide usage in Iowa on soybeans. The economic threshold has just recently been published, and this is a dynamic threshold. And using averages of price and yield estimates for the last couple of years, the current economic threshold is pegged right around 250 aphids per plant. But I do want to stress that this isn't a static 250 aphids per plant, and for further investigation, I highly encourage you to read the publication. So now that we've got the threshold established, a couple of the remaining questions. How do our recommendations compare to the options that are available for growers to use to manage soybean aphids? And the big three options that growers currently have are seed treatments as a nicotinoid, obviously at planting, tank mixes of some sort of a broad spectrum herbicide with either a broad spectrum insecticide with either a herbicide. Traditionally, the last application of glyphosate in late June, early July, or potentially with a fungicide tank mix should rust become more of an issue in the soybean producing regions. And finally, that IPM approach where we recommend growers scout the fields and utilize that 250 aphid threshold. Before I get too deep into the data, I think it's important to go through how I'm going to present it. And any aphid population data I'm going to present is cumulative aphid days. The top figure is showing aphids per plant over 8 treatments, and we see it's very difficult to pick out treatment effects. Populations come up and down, they cross, and the other issue here is at what date do you select if you're looking at aphids per plant to try to pick out your treatment differences. And this led to the development of cumulative aphid days. Cumulative aphid days are a great way to visualize treatment differences. They're analogous to growing degree days, something probably everybody in this room is familiar with, and for one crop or pest. They're also an excellent estimator of the plant's total exposure to aphids. Some quick mathematical examples: if you have a plant that has 10 aphids on it for 10 days, that plant has experienced 10 cumulative aphid days. We increase the number to 100 aphids for 10 days. That plant has experienced 1,000 cumulative aphid days. And if we continue out to 1,000 aphids for 10 days, that plant has experienced 10,000 cumulative aphid days. So now I'm showing you that exact same data set, only now with the data expressed in cumulative aphid days, we see it's much easier to read, and the mean separation or the treatment differences are much more visible. And I'll traditionally be presenting the aphid population data as a histogram of that final endpoint. I want to talk just briefly about some results from some insecticide efficacy work that we've done at Iowa State. This is small plot research put on with a backpack sprayer, and it's going to lay some of the foundation for some of the treatments that we're applying later on. The left axis is showing you the mean cumulative aphid days, and that's being represented by the gray bars. The right axis is the mean yield on a per acre basis, and that's represented by the red triangles above the corresponding treatments. I want to first focus on the control treatments. We have an untreated control which received no insecticides, and then an aphid-free treatment which received an insecticide application every time we noticed any aphids in these plots. We see that the aphid-free treatment had a significantly higher yield than the aphid-free, and the aphid exposure, the gray bars, was significantly lower. We shift over to the broad-spectrum foliar insecticides, and I included the aphid-free control to really illustrate the point that a well-timed broad-spectrum insecticide applied at 250 aphids per plant performed equally well to our aphid-free treatment. In this case, at this location, that aphid-free treatment received 4 insecticide applications over the course of a year, and that was a tank mix of both an organophosphate and a pyrethroid, so it was a pretty hot cocktail. And we see that really heavy insecticide application compared to just a single well-timed insecticide application protected yield equally and reduced aphid exposure. We shift to the seed treatments. Both thimethoxam and imidacloprid by themselves had an intermediate effect on reducing aphid populations and a bit of a mixed effect on having any yield protection ability. But overall, still not as effective as the broad spectrum insecticides applied at 250 aphids per plant. If you notice right next to the two main seed treatment bars, we had a treatment where we came in and applied a broad spectrum when the populations reached 250. So those treatments that received both the seed treatment and that broad spectrum well-timed insecticide was able to protect the yields. The approaches that we looked at in this study were consisted of 4 treatments: a control treatment receiving no insecticides or fungicides. Our preventative treatment received a tank mix of an insecticide and a fungicide, and this was timed to the soybean growth stage, the early R stages, R1, R2. And the reason we chose the fungicide, even though we think that the majority of growers are actually tank mixing with a herbicide right now, is because of soybean rust. This figure shows the current distribution of soybean rust. The red dots indicate where soybean rust has been positively identified, and this is as of December 12, 2008. And we feel that, or our conversations with our colleagues in plant pathology say that this is going to be the optimal time for fungicide application. We're comparing that control tactic to the IPM technique, where we scout fields and apply soybean aphids at the 250 aphid per plant threshold, and then the seed treatment where the insecticide is applied at planting to the seed directly. These are large plots. These are half acre to 1 acre size plots. 4 treatments in a randomized complete block design, 6 replications. We had 3 years, 2005 through 2007, and 2 locations per state. Our collaborators were performing the same experiment in both Minnesota and Michigan. However, I'm just going to focus on our data from Michigan. We had two locations, our data from Iowa. We had two locations in Iowa. The center red dot was Story County. The lower red dot is our location in Lucas County in south central Iowa. The statistical analysis, our aphid populations had an unequal distribution of variance. This required a log transformation of that data. Yield data did not require any sort of a transformation. The analysis was a simple one-way analysis of variance using PROC mixed and SAS, and our treatment differences were considered significant at a p-value of 0.05. If we take a look at our peak aphid populations at our locations, we see 2007 was a fairly high aphid year, with populations reaching almost 3,000 aphids per plant at the Story County location and almost 400 aphids per plant at the Lucas County location. 2006 was a very low aphid year at both locations. And then 2005, we see the aphid populations just hit that economic threshold, but it was very late in the season in 2005 when we reached those populations. So we see a tremendous amount of that year-to-year variability that I was talking about, and also location to location within a year. If we skip straight to our yield differences here, we see that all three of the insect this is data collapsed down all 3 years, both locations averaged together, and the analysis shows that any insecticide application protected yield compared to the untreated control. And I want to point out that this IPM treatment only received an insecticide one time out of those six possible year location combinations. So when the economic analysis is done, I believe that IPM approach will really stand out as being a superior method. But from just looking at the yield effects, averaging over the years, we see that those insecticides are protecting yield. When we break it down by year, 2005 was an intermediate year. We see no significant treatment effects. The seed treatment option was not added till 2006. Again, 2006, that very low aphid year, we see no significant treatment effects. And then when we look at the yield from 2007, our high aphid year, we see our preventative and IPM approaches both protected yield very well. The seed treatment provided us an intermediate level of yield protection compared to our untreated control. And obviously our untreated control resulted in the lowest yield. And we had almost a 7 bushel yield advantage there, I think. I want to focus now on that really high population we had in Story County in 2007. Those really high populations we had in 2007 allowed us to look at an interesting possible scenario. This figure is showing mean aphids per plant at that location. The red dotted line at the bottom of the figure shows the 250 aphid threshold. The solid red line is showing you the untreated control plots. And you notice I have two treatments that weren't shown in the original list of treatments. The preventative 200 plus 250 and the IPM plus 250. These populations had reached the economic threshold so early that the residual activity of the insecticides that were applied had started to fail, and this allowed populations to cross the economic threshold for a second time and allowed us to address, well, what happens in this situation? Is it worth going out a second time? So we split our plots, the preventative and the IPM plots were split in half, one side receiving an additional insecticide and the other side being left alone with the original application. These populations were growing so quickly that actually the preventative and the IPM were applied at the same time. Soybeans were in the early R stages, in early July when those first when they first reach the economic threshold. And then our first observation after they had crossed the threshold for a second time. We also noticed that at the same time, the populations were crashing naturally. When we look at the mean cumulative aphid days, we see that there was no real advantage to that second application. We really didn't end up reducing aphid exposure very dramatically. And I also want to point out the large level of variability with this preventative treatment. This may indicate that that addition of a fungicide may have been having some impact on possible entomopathogenic fungi. But overall, we see that that additional insecticide application, when they crossed the threshold the second time, really didn't reduce our exposure. When we look at our yields, we see the same trend. That second insecticide application did not protect yield any better than just the single insecticide application in this situation. The main points I really want everybody to consider: the single application of a foliar insecticide is the most efficient. The preventative practices in no year or in no scenario protected yield better than the IPM approach for us. The seed treatments appear to be insufficient for soybean aphid control. And there may be some potential interactions with fungicides, and our next speaker is going to speak to that point a little bit more. I want to acknowledge our funding sources from the USDA in this risk avoidance and mitigation program. We also got additional help with the Iowa Soybean Association, those growers' checkoff dollars well invested. Co-investigators at the University of Minnesota and Michigan State. Our industry partners, where we got a lot of product and tech support, BASF and Syngenta, and other graduate students in our department, Nick Schmidt and Wayne Onisorg. Any questions? Yes?
Hi, Kevin. Just tackling the idea of the added 250 of the added insecticide or not, you noted, thanks for the noting it, is that populations were beginning to crash. And that happens, and I think that could be why the additional insecticide didn't have an effect. But I was wondering your knowledge of the aphid and the plant is, do you think there's ever a conditions where when the first insecticide treatment wears off, if you will, and you get back to the threshold, that there's still some energy left in the plants and the aphids, where you can see that maybe there would be times that a second application would be important? Or do you think the single application approach, given the plant and the aphids, is probably the most common, if not universal, scenario?
So the... See if I can boil this question down to a few words.
Yeah. The application would pay off because the trajectory of growth is such that aphids would indeed continue to increase.
So the question was, could there ever be a scenario where a second application would be justified? And it's a bit of a loaded question in that we don't have any data in that scenario so far that's supportive. But I would lean strongly towards the no on that, and the reason being is that the efficacy data that I showed you earlier has been repeated for this is the fourth year that we've run that, and we've had that aphid-free treatment for 3 years, and that aphid-free treatment that has always been just loaded with insecticide has never out-yielded our single application of a broad spectrum. I'm not going to say that it's impossible for that to happen,
no.
but if you time that first application properly, mm-hmm. Now the other scenario would be to look at the seed treatment data. You know, that if you applied the insecticide way too early in the season, then possibly yes, you would be justified. But if you properly timed it,
yeah,
using the economic threshold, I think you'd be fine.
Major migration, prevailing winds take into
the other direction. Maybe just a comment, what do you think about Michigan or Ontario, or maybe Chris or someone else wants to pop in there, in terms of this question of whether a second position might ever be justified?
You've got more experience in Michigan. I'm gonna defer this just a little bit, but the question was more or less extended to other regions outside of Iowa, and I don't have a much direct experience with regions outside of Iowa as to whether a similar situation could happen where that second insecticide application would be justified.
You commented the seed treatment alone wasn't enough, but did you see any indication that it slowed the increase of the aphids enough that giving more time to spray, or there were times where it was marginal, the seed treatment allowed you to not spray?
The question was, did the seed treatments have any effect? did they prevent or slow growth a little bit and allow for more time for the insecticide application to take place? And I would say yes. Just about all of our experiments that we've played with seed treatments, it would delay the need for an insecticide by a week or two at the most. This year we probably had the largest benefit from seed treatments in that effect because we had such high populations so early for us in Iowa. And maybe other states that experience high aphid populations sooner than what we do, that may be a larger issue. But for us in Iowa, but the long story short is it resulted, we still had more insecticide being applied in those plots and more grower dollars, where had the grower only applied the foliar insecticide one time, he would have had a much higher net return. So does that satisfy the question?
If you could get in there at the right time.
Yes, yes. Any other questions? Thank you very much.